It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, that was a long weekend that wasn't supposed to be. There was no Friday on the front porch, and I hate it when there's no Friday on the front porch. I always look forward to them. I put out a note saying that there was a badass thunderstorm passing through the area, and it was pretty badass. Power went out about, I think 2:48 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time Friday, and didn't come back until 11 o'clock that night or later, and other parts of the county got it back even later still. It was a good 12 hours for my friends over in Fayetteville. And, of course, that's what you get when you rely on a decentralized grid whose end point on one end is a bunch of rickety, falling down, antiquated technology, coal-fried power generating plants. Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. It is Moran Monday on the horn. Moran Monday, the 20th day of June, 2022. And this day marks two things. This day marks the second commemoration of Juneteenth, which as a federal holiday. As a federal holiday, which last year was the first time we observed it. This year is the second. And I'm sure if the Republicans take control, they will do everything they can, to make it a holiday commemorating one day in June of 1864 when, Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee sat down to buttered scones or something. I don't know. But, they're Republicans, so they're going to do Republican things. But it's also, in addition to being the federally observed Juneteenth holiday, which I'm glad we do it. I'm glad we finally got around to doing it. God knows. It was 1865, and a U.S. Navy gunboat had pulled into Galveston Harbor, and officials of the federal government rode into the heart of Texas to enforce the Union victory in the Civil War with a proclamation declaring that all people are free. And it has been forever more since known as Juneteenth. It's also, but this day in particular, June the 20th, 1863, marks West Virginia Day. That was the day when one little chunk of Virginia left the old Dominion and became a free state. West Virginia entered the Union as a free state. And hence our motto is, Mountaineers always free. As with everything else about the United States of America and the notion of freedom, it is aspirational more than operational. But it's a day worth noting because Virginia was pissed off that a sizable chunk of her landmass decided to go it alone. And go it alone we have, and we have bled, and we have died. We've been maimed, burnt, blown up, tormented, killed, coughed our lungs out, seen lungs turn to cement, all for the greater good of the rest of the country and, you know, of course, capitalism. Right. And so this is the 159th birthday of the state of West Virginia. I always know exactly how old West Virginia is every West Virginia day, simply because she's 100 years older than me. Well, thank you, Scott. There you are. The slight delay in the program start made me worry that we were having one of those Rosemary Woods 18-and-a-half-minute gaps going on. No. And I did. I hated not being here on Friday. I was all set up. I was raring to go. Had a ton of material that, you know, 3 days ago was really relevant. Maybe some of it still is. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks to our PayPal subscribers for the 20th, 19th, 18th, and 17th days of the month. So what that means is we say thank you to Dr. John in New Mexico. We say thank you to Armand. We say thank you to Vincent. And we say thank you to Ralphs. We say thank you to our buddy Reverbo, the human man. We say thank you to Darlene in Connecticut and to Clayton. Thank you, Clayton, and happy birthday to you, belated. Happy birthday. We say thanks as well to Charlene in Rogues Island and to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to our dear friend in the South Pacific. Thank you, Lady B, for jumping in on Saturday. Thank you to Labor Man, Gary. Thank you to David in San Diego. And that gets us to, that gets us all caught up with gratitude. And grateful I am indeed, and I hope the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation are too. Now, where does that leave us? In a hole. Something like $1,345 to be correct. To be precise. And so hopefully we can knock some of that down as we go through the program, because God knows if we don't, by the time we get to this Friday, it'll be the largest fundraising hole that we've ever had in the history of the program. So if you're listening live, and if maybe a Friday made you remember, you know, what you're missing when we're not here, well, you run over to headon.live, use the PayPal button. It's real easy. Or become a new Patreon subscriber. That would be cool, too. Become a PayPal subscriber. You know, every up to five new $10 a month subscribers get their first month's $10 subscription doubled, courtesy of our pal Zed this month. Zed would love to see more subscribers, because Zed would like to see this program continue, as I trust most of you would. It was a fairly quiet weekend. I actually went on the road Saturday, went up and watched the organizing meeting of the West Virginia Democratic Executive Committee. That was delightful. That was a thing. And, well, maybe say something more about that later. But the committee is reorganized, and I don't know what that's frankly going to mean in 2022 or 2024 or 2026. I don't know if the Democratic Party can get out of the wilderness, frankly. It remains to be seen. It is, as the saying goes, a mystery. But it was a lovely day Saturday, and I got to enjoy that road time under clear, beautiful, blue West Virginia skies, and got to do one of my favorite things, because everything, there's always got to be food porn, right? Even if it's more in Monday. There is a franchise in Clarksburg, there's one in Morgantown too, of Primanti Brothers. Hi, Rico. I know you know what. Yeah. And everybody in Western PA pretty much knows what Primanti Brothers is. So I brought back a sandwich for Annette and me to have, you know, at the end of the day. It's just so good. And I had a, you know, not to put too fine a point on anything, but just in sharing, you know, what my life is now. I walked in there. It was just lovely. Made me feel great. And walked up to the bar, and the bartender walked up to me and said, "What do you have, babe?" Huh? Gender euphoria. It was just beautiful. I was getting, and frankly, I kind of looked, wait, is it my turn to order yet? I'm looking around. Oh, me! Yeah! So that was super sweet. By the way, it is not miserable in the studio. It's only 76 degrees in here. This is positively balmy. We're going to have a couple of days break before the 90-degree weather comes back, so that creates a little window of an opportunity. Hopefully, we will have the little floor unit air conditioner going by then, because we've knocked down a couple of the conditions precedent to getting it done. Ugh, never a dull moment. Thank you, Barbara, for getting us started. We are down to we're now down to $1,300 to get caught up. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so very much. Ralph says she'll match the first two $10 subscriptions for the rest of the month, too. And consequently, that means we could have seven people who get their, if there are seven of you, maybe you're new to the program. Maybe you think that it's, you know, worth, less than half of a dollar menu item, less than half of one per program to be a subscriber and help keep this going. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you so very much. And Scott along the way says a slightly belated song for the 50th anniversary of the Watergate break-in, because that happened this, recently. I think it was Friday, wasn't it, Scott? And the two cops who arrested the Watergate burglars are still up and about and above ground. And I saw them interviewed, and one of them was wearing a West Virginia ball cap. I don't know if he's a native West Virginian or he moved here from somewhere else, or he's just fond of us, or I don't know. But he was wearing a West Virginia baseball cap, old gold and blue, with an outline of a coal miner crawling on his hands and knees through the benighted dark of one of the many shitholes that has powered the country and powered industry and taken ever so many lives. But good on you for good on him for wearing it. Absolutely. So what is this? Okay, let's try out this. Let's go with the Watergate sing along and see what we've got here. Is there going to be an ad?
We're Haldeman, Ehrlichman,
Mitchell,
and Dean. The way we've been treated is really obscene. To think that a bug worth hardly a shrug could end up by getting us tossed in the jug.
We all got the gate for no reason or rhyme.
You'd think we'd committed some horrible crime.
Our minds may be dirty, but our hands are clean.
We're Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell,
and Dean.
We're Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean. Our job was to see that the White House stayed green.
We might have had flaws, like bending the laws, but God only knows it was for a good cause.
There's no power shortage where we were concerned.
And what little profit resulted we earned.
Four lovelier fellows you never have seen
than Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean.
We're Haldeman, Ehrlichman,
Mitchell,
and Dean.
Our past has been fat, but the future looks lean.
With backs to the wall, we're taking a fall.
But damn it, we only robbed Peter, pay Paul. Just when we were getting to be well-to-do, the Watergate turned into our Waterloo.
And now everybody is out to demean poor Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean.
Yes, we're Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean.
We're perfectly willing to spill every bean.
We've nothing to hide with God on our side.
He knows we were only along for the ride.
But so it won't come as a terrible blow.
There's one little thing that we think you should know.
Whatever we say isn't quite what we mean.
We're Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell,
and Dean.
Yes, we're Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean.
Things won't be the same when we're gone from the scene.
But people will still recall with a thrill
our sellout performance on Capitol Hill.
It just isn't fair to take all of the blame
when all we were doing was playing the game.
Now all of Washington's caught in between.
Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean.
Yay! Curiously enough, John Dean, one of those four mentioned in one of the quartet mentioned in that song, John Dean said that January 6th was in fact far worse, is far worse than what Watergate was. And that's kind of chilling because, well, what Richard Nixon had in mind back then was pretty much the overturn of constitutional governments. Yeah. I think he may be proven to be correct. And of course, the new hearing, or the next hearing, is on the way. And with that in mind, Ellie Honig, a legal correspondent for CNN, has said that by the time the next hearing rolls around, namely tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, that, well, according to Ellie Honig, the proof of what Nitwit Nero did may become, inescapable.
Tuesday, shifting the focus to then-President Trump pressuring state elections officials to illegally overturn his loss. Georgia's election officials Brad Raffensperger and Gabe Sterling are expected to testify, as well as Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers. All three are Republicans who supported Trump but refused to illegally overturn Joe Biden's victory in their pivotal states. And on CNN this morning, one member of the committee says that it will peel back the curtain on the plot to submit fake slates of electors.
We'll show evidence of the president's involvement in this scheme. We'll also, again, show evidence about what his own lawyers came to think about this scheme. And we'll show courageous state officials who stood up and said they wouldn't go along with this plan to either call legislatures back into session or decertify the results for Joe Biden. The system held because a lot of state and local elections officials upheld their oath to the Constitution, a lot of them Republicans, as well as Democrats.
Let's bring in CNN senior legal analyst and former federal prosecutor Ali Honig. Hi, Ali. So how important will Tuesday's hearing be in reinforcing the committee's case against Trump?
Well, Pam, we've seen that this was really a multi-front effort by Donald Trump to steal the election. We've seen that he tried to pressure the vice president. We will see how he tried to weaponize the Justice Department. We know he filed dozens of ridiculous lawsuits. But I think what we're going to see on Tuesday is really the most audacious of all those efforts to try to get state officials to simply hand him their electoral votes. Now, the Constitution tells us that state legislatures do have the right to decide how they'll award their electoral votes. But the problem is, they decided that many, many years ago, whoever wins the popular vote in that state gets all the electoral votes. And Donald Trump, quite aggressively, thinks he could just pick up the phone, call state officials, and get them to flip that and hand him the electoral votes. And to the credit of those state-level officials, many of them Republicans, they said, no, that would violate the Constitution, it would violate our oaths, it would violate the law. And so ultimately, Pam, this scheme really backfired and self-destructed in remarkable fashion.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the pressure campaign happened even after the state certified the election results there. I want to share this new poll with you. The ABC Ipsos poll just out today showing 58% of Americans surveyed say Trump should face criminal charges for his role in the attack on the Capitol. Do you think there's enough evidence to support that we've seen so far?
Well, Pam, first of all, it's a good thing that public opinion does not dictate prosecutorial decision-making. DOJ and prosecutors are supposed to be separate from politics and from whatever the public thinks. But I do think that poll is really interesting because I think it reflects the fact that the committee has made a really powerful evidentiary showing so far. The committee, I think, has given us new facts and reestablished things we already knew, that Donald Trump tried to steal this election. And most importantly, they've shown us inside Donald Trump's mind what prosecutors called intent. I think they've made a really powerful argument that he knew he had lost the election, that he knew there was no evidence of widespread election fraud, that he knew that his legal schemes were completely unconstitutional and invalid. So I think the committee has shown us a really strong foundation that prosecutors ought to be working off of.
But on his state of mind and intent, and you bring up an important point because that is central to what the committee is trying to do here. And one of the potential charges that lawyers have put out there is, did Donald Trump try to defraud the United States? But I'm just wondering, because as part of the committee putting out there all of these advisors telling Donald Trump, no, you lost the election, so forth and so on. We also have seen evidence of other advisors to Donald Trump, like Rudy Giuliani, like John Eastman, telling the president there were ways to overturn the election results, that, he didn't actually lose, as crazy and delusional as that advice may have been. So how would that factor in to a potential criminal case?
Well, let's remember that Rudy Giuliani definitely only told Donald Trump that while drinking a Diet Pepsi. Do we have that part right? Yeah, I think we do. But I think the walls do seem to be closing in a little bit. Will they slam all the way shut? We don't know. We can hope, but the bottom line is that democracy, such as it is in the United States, remains at grave, grave risk. Now, it's Moran Monday, and, there are... Moran Monday has a... it has a purpose. It has a meaning. And that is, of course, to take note of, morons, particularly the right-wing variety. Oh, yeah. And, we haven't done it in a while. The pandemic, which, by the way, the new Omicron variant is surging like a mofo. And so continue to take your precautions, please. Lucy, not honey, not now, baby.
Meow.
I know. Come here. Sit on Auntie's lap. There we go. That's a baby. A lot of things changed with the pandemic, and some of it was some of the shtick we used to do. And I think it's probably good that we get back to some of that. Because, you know, the reason we do it has not changed. And so with that having been said, well, yeah.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed, here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you'll find them all, in all their Moranic glory, just mere steps off the carnival midway, where only recently you were throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a vainglorious hope that you'd be taking home a precious baby iguana. Yes, right here, right behind the aforementioned thin cybernetic veil of canvas, they wait for you, all of them. The birthers, the deathers, the ninthers, the tenthers, the birchers, the booger eaters, the maggots, the trumpanzees, the libertardians, Republicans all, and we've got them right here, right now, today. That's right, friends and neighbors. Step right up for nothing more than the cost of half of a stick of chewing gum. You, too, can make sure that Moran Monday continues to travel the country and occasionally shows up at the local fairgrounds or grocery store parking lot near where you live. Yes, indeed, of course, we send out the usual disclaimers and warnings. Namely, when entering the Moran Monday tent, do please make sure to keep a close hand on your purses, your wallets, your billfolds, your fanny packs, your belly packs, your bracelets, rings, necklaces, even your piercings, and certainly your European-style messenger bags. Don't let the kids stray too far away because, well, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And it's the absolute truth. Dear God. Yeah, here we are. It's Moran Monday. And what a celebration. Oh, what a celebration we have. Where to begin? Well, how about, of course, Texas. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you noticed, but the state of Texas Republican Party over this weekend had their convention, and wow, what a zany carnival of right wing moranity it was. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, when you see a state party convention, you're dealing with the activist base of the party. These are the people who eat it, sleep it, drink it, breathe it. In its far more sedate form, I saw a taste of it this weekend up in Clarksburg for the organizational meeting of the West Virginia Democratic Executive Committee. And it was considerably more sedate than anything that they were doing down in Texas, without a doubt. Nonetheless, by the way, I would be remiss if I did not mention that, well, you know, when we start talking about what happened in Texas over the weekend, it's the usual litany of, you know, dirtbaggery, skullduggery, and braindeadery, and, you know, mixed up with a soupçon of, shovels full of hate and bigotry and various and sundry different phobias, paranoia, and all brought together under the greater umbrella of a whopping dose of Dunning-Krugerism. Mm-hmm. But it was curious to me because there was a motion. Now this is a brand new Democratic Executive Committee in West Virginia that professes to be so progressive, so liberal. And yet, curiously enough, Well, a certain segment of society still doesn't exist to them. A motion was offered and passed. I don't really understand how yet. It seemed fairly simple on its face, and once upon a time it would have been. They created this committee, never mind to do what. But now that we're down to two congressional districts, they said the committee will be made up of 8 people, and 4 will come from District 1 and 4 will come from District 2, and that they shall be evenly divided, and this is the important part, between men and women. Oddly enough, this state, as I've mentioned in the past, has, by at least a couple of reckonings, the highest number of trans and non-binary kids between the ages of 14 and 17 in the entire United States of America. And those 17-year-olds, well, that study came out in 2017, so that's 5 years ago. Those 17-year-olds are 22-year-olds now, and they've been able to vote for 4 years. And some of them are most assuredly gender fluid or non-binary. Some of them might even be interested in politics. Who knows? But it doesn't matter to the most liberal, progressive, Democratic Party executive committee ever elected in the history of the great state of West Virginia, going back to all the way to June 20th, 1863. No, sir, this committee's going to be made up of 4 men and 4 women, and the non-binaries can go fuck themselves. Now, I don't expect Republicans to recognize gender fluidity they recognize transness. I mean, we'll get to that in Texas in a minute. But if you're Democratic, and if you're a Democratic Party organization, and you profess to be super-duper double-plus, oh-my-God, awesome liberal, I would think somewhere along the way somebody might say, hey, the binary is so 20th century. Isn't it time we started sort of acknowledging the gender fluids and the non-binaries? Maybe a little bit. Nah. Guess not. Anyway, they did their thing in Clarksburg, and it was cool, and I was there and just watched it all go down. But in Texas, well, man, I mean, you want to talk about not, or woman, or non-binary, you want to talk about not my monkey, not my circus? Yeah. This wasn't 3 rings. This was like the highest prime number of rings. The kind of thing that you burn up the Uniblab 10,000 trying to calculate. They do that every night. Well, there's probably a computer right now that's just humming away, trying to find another prime number. And that's all it does. And wouldn't you love to be in charge of watching that program run? Well, they had their conclave convention in Texas, and these, I mean, my God, they must have been passing out the Woodstock brown acid when you came through the door. And it matters. It does matter this Moran Monday. Because at this point in time, where once upon a time, South Carolina was the home of American sedition, well, they've been outstripped and outpaced by a long shot by Texas. Now, let me go back here. This is good. How quaint, going back to the CNN clip. Flavio says, they're all speaking in the past tense as, they tried to overturn constitutional government when, in fact, the insurrection is ongoing and all those honest people that said no to Trump are being replaced with big lie subscribers. The insurrection is ongoing. If Trump and acolytes are not prosecuted and convicted and given sentences greater than 30 days, we can say goodbye to this democracy. Goodbye. See you later. Kind of nice having you visit for a while. Come back if the Republicans don't pull you over to the side of the road and ball bat you to death on the way out of town. Goodbye, democracy. Bye. Goodbye, constitutional governance. Goodbye, civil order. Bye. But anyway, back down in Texas, like I said, Texas matters now because it is the clearinghouse for white-wing American radicalism. And how radical can they get? Don't ask. This is some genuine 200-proof bat piss crazy. Big time. Mind-blowing. It's a laundry list of everything Republicans want and everything Republicans hate. The one place where I differ is that this is nothing new. You know, the Republican Party of Texas party platform now says that officially, it is the official position of the Republican Party in Texas that the election of 2020 was done stolt from our God Emperor, Donald J. Trump. You know, that's not a few malcontents in maggot hats. That's not a handful of people who walk around with onions in their socks and drink pee to and eat horse paste to keep from getting the Rona. No. This is the entire party. And while we're at it, just in case, because I was the first one to coin the term Cold Civil War a while back. And they've got it in their head that they can secede from the Union. One of the resolutions they adopted in Clavern, in Clavern Conjoined, is a resolution that tells the Texas legislature to put up a referendum for a vote in November of 2023, quote, to determine whether or not the state of Texas should reassert its status as an independent nation. Secessionism. The first time that John C. Calhoun bandied that notion about in South Carolina, see why I mentioned South Carolina and then Texas, and secessionitis caught on down there. Andrew Jackson was president long before the Civil War, and he said that he would get on his horse and get a rope and go to South Carolina and start hanging secessionists until the urge passed. Maybe he should have, but he didn't, and Andrew Jackson is problematic. But yeah, Texas has decided that, or at least Republicans in Texas, it'd be a good thing to axe the people if and they want to be an independent nation. Never mind the fact that this is illegal, historically, legally illegal. And this being Juneteenth, it's a good time to be talking. Maybe that's why they were talking about it. Maybe Republicans in Texas are just pissed off about Juneteenth. But, well, here we are. And, hell, I reckon they're free to try. Wonder what the Texas budget would look like without all of them sweet, 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 sweet federal dollars from places like New York and Massachusetts and California and Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, Illinois. Way back when, in Texas versus White, how about that, 1869, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States was one Salmon P. Chase. He had been elevated there by Abraham Lincoln because Abraham Lincoln had a notion that Salmon P. Chase was having some presidential timber moments. Salmon P. Chase was a pain in the ass. But he became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and he wrote in 1869 that a pissed off Texas legislature, in the wake of you know, losing the Civil War, that legislature could pass articles of secession till hell froze over, but that when Texas entered the Union, quote, she entered into an indissoluble relation. All the obligations of perpetual union and all the guarantees of Republican government in the Union attached at once to the state. The act which consummated her admission into the Union was something more than a compact. It was the incorporation of a new member into the political body, and it was final. The union between Texas and the other states was as complete, as perpetual, as indissoluble as the union between the original states. There was no place for reconsideration or revocation except through revolution or except through consent of the states. The ordinance of secession adopted by the convention and ratified by a majority of the citizens of Texas and all the acts of her legislature intended to give effect to that ordinance were absolutely null. They were utterly without operation in law. One would think that that would be dispositive of the issue, but one would think wrongly if one was taking into account the spirochete-infested brains of Republicans in Texas. And Jesus, God, this platform, holy cow. Students in Texas, according to the Republicans, should be forced to learn about the dignity of the preborn human. They also have to be taught that life begins at fertilization. Yeah. See, they've changed conception to fertilization. At best, it's a matter of hours in the real world. But fertilization happens the minute sperm one, and, you know, lots of sperm get around the egg. Lots and lots. Definitely lots of sperm. And they all start clawing away at the outer shell of the human ovum until the lucky sperm gets through. Or if it's happening in Texas, unlucky. And fertilization happens. Some things can still go wrong, but it will eventually become a blastocyst, an embryo, a zygote. And so the Texas Republicans wanted to make sure that everybody understood that the minute that first little squiggly swimmer started gnawing away at the outside of the shell. Why am I reminded of the Three Stooges short where Moe explains to Curly that he's the lucky one because he got the ham bone and the eggshells? I don't know. But that's weird. And, you know, they're weird. But beyond weird, they're dangerous. They also note and claim that homosexuality is an abnormal lifestyle choice. Choice. People aren't born gay, born that way. In Texas, I haven't read far enough into this thing to see if there's an anti-evolution screed in there, but there kind of has to be. Lord. Abnormal lifestyle choice and marriage in Texas will be between one biological man and one biological woman, and ain't going to be no other kinds of marriage. In short, it's possible to read the Republican platform coming out of this weekend's convention in Texas as a declaration of war. Let's see, they want to eliminate, because, again, this is a fetish object of the Republican Party going back forever and ever. They want to abolish the Department of Education. They want to demolish boards of education. there should be nothing but, I guess, Jesus schools in Texas. I mean, this thing is a, Lord, this thing's a mess. And then eventually, of course, they got around to people like me. Yeah. The TERFs and white wingers who are their allies and various and sundry Nazis, etc., have been braying for a very long time that there's just oodles and oodles and oodles of detransitioners out there. Detransitioners are people who determine themselves to be trans and then decide to go back and live an attempted cis lifestyle. Less than 1% of all trans people who transition detransition, and of those people, that tiny, tiny number, most of them aren't doing it because they want to. Many of them do it because they've been pressured into it, browbeaten into it, harangued into it, harassed into it, tormented into it, tortured into it. And so they just to end the misery, they agree to go back and live their miserable lives instead of being true to themselves. And it's so sad. But of course, the TERFs and various and sundry other manifestations of two-legged fecal matter celebrate the detransitioners. They celebrate their grief and their sadness. And so the Republican Party of the state of Texas has declared in its platform, and remember, the legislature is what the legislature is, and there's a decent chance that everything that the Republican platform asks for will be granted by the state legislature of Texas if it continues to be constituted in the way that it is. And so they call for any detransitioner to be able to sue anyone who helped them detransition, sue medical providers, to be able to sue for medical malpractice anyone who performed gender-affirming surgery upon them, even though they signed informed consent documents all along the way. I mean, that might come as a surprise to some. I don't know who. But the fact of the matter is, if you go in to have a colonoscopy, an endoscopy, if you go in to have a light, put up your sinuses to have a look around, you will sign an informed consent form saying, gosh, I want this to happen, and I consent to it, and this is me. So despite all of the consent forms that a person signs, the god-awful Republican monstrosities, well, they want to make detransitioners eligible to sue the people who tried to give them their authentic lives and who, in fact, did give them their authentic lives. But, you know, they were tormented into living a lie. But that's not all. The Texas GOP wants to make gender-affirming surgeries, no kidding, per se, medical malpractice. Even if it was done right. Even if it was done well. Medical malpractice. And making it per se medical malpractice means the simple fact that it exists is enough to prove the charge. Now, what they're trying to do here is a broader version of what was done to my surgeon in Alabama. And he just upped and left. He bugged out because Alabama made it shitty and impossible for him to safely do his job with his family living there in Talabama. So he broke camp and split. Well, there are actually world-famous gender clinics in Texas. Just to name one, there's the Crane Clinic in Austin. There's a world-renowned clinic in Houston. And what they're trying to do is shut it down by means other than that by which they could shut it down. Stand by. I'll be back in a sec. Talk amongst yourselves. Sorry about that. When the dog starts barking like she wants to eat somebody, and the cats blow out of here like they want to go and claw somebody's eyes out, but it was false alarm, so we're all good. But talking about this Texas convention, I mean, children shall be taught about the miracle of the free market. You know, the free market that exists primarily only in their imaginations. Yeah, it's not at all. Matt in San Francisco says, bye, Felicia. I'm all for splitting up the union. Let the red states fend for themselves. It's like those states are drug addicts and they need some tough love. We can just let them go with love and hopefully they'll find their way to recovery. Today is a crazy day in the city by the bay. The Championship Warriors celebration parade just wrapped up, so there are thousands of revelers dancing, cheering, partying, and just having a great time. I'm sure it has something to do with being locked up for a couple of years and having something to celebrate. Everyone likes to win. I'm so tired of dealing with these backward states led by the GOP and arguing over the same bigoted shit they were yelling about in 1980. If they don't want to join the winning team, then I vote to let them go and they can wallow in their ignorance from now to eternity. The rest of us want to get on with the joy of living an authentic life. From your mouth to God's ears, Matt, I understand all of that. But to be honest, it scares me. It scares me. I know trans people in Texas. I know trans people in Alabama, people who are dear to me, whom I love. And how do we set up the exodus for them? Hell, not them. Me too. This shit that went on over this past weekend in Texas will, without a doubt, replicate like some sort of goddamn virus from Texas to every other blood-red state in the union. They'll be talking about this shit in interim meetings in every Republican state in the country. And forgive me if I get a little upset about this, because there are a lot of people out there who have dealt with this all their lives, you know, being hated, knowing every day that there's a significant number of millions of Americans who would just prefer that you be fucking dead. But it is new to me. And I freely acknowledge that I lived a very privileged life for a very long time, what will prove to be the majority of my life. And some privilege still attaches. But, well, it's a frightening thing. I was talking with my dear sis, Miss Terry, earlier this evening. I said, if the folks in Texas thought they could get away with it, they'd start building ovens right now. And that is no disrespect to any other marginalized or affected community. They really, really want to kill us. Whatever the international sanctioning body is for competitive swimming took action this weekend. They were determined to make sure that Leah Thomas doesn't swim in the Olympics, and they succeeded. According to their rules now, the name of the organization is FINA, F-I-N-A. I have no idea what it stands for. But they are the governing body of international competitive swimming. And over the weekend, they ruled that no one assigned male at birth can compete in swimming if they did not transition before the age of 12. No more testing to find out who's got how much testosterone, none of that. No. And then there was some there was some language about how swimming really cares about the trans. And we're going to see if we can't set up a little swimming, you know, a little we'll drain out a cesspool or something and put some dirty dishwater in it for them to swim in. And you know what? It'll be separate but equal. Because we can't have them trans swimming with the normal people. I'm using the wrong accent, though, because in point of fact, the guy who runs international swimming is certainly no... no redneck. Oh, no. In point of fact, the guy who spoke, who runs international swimming, is, I'm presuming, and I'm doing so unfairly, solely by name, I'm presuming is Muslim. And that's depressing, too. The measure passed the international swimming body by 71% to 29%. And so the oppression is institutionalized in swimming, and other sports will follow suit. Even though the much vaunted victories of Leah Thomas aren't quite as stunning as people would let on. You know, her best time in the NCAA championships were a solid 9 seconds off the best time that was posted by a cis woman years ago. Years ago. But I guess that doesn't really count when you're dealing with issues of bigotry and hate. Now, going back to the secession idea, Randy Radar says you can't let the red states go. They would soon run out of money and would turn around and attack the blue states, and they would be good at it. Well, that's what they tried to do in 1861. All we had to do is go down and burn some sense into them. Are there any nukes in Alabama or Texas? Yeah, maybe it's time to get the nukes out of the Confederate states. Well, they'd hate losing all that money from Fort, not going to be Fort Hood for very long, wouldn't they? And various and sundry other military installations in Texas. Probably have to put on a draft The Army of the Republic of Texas would probably look a little, shall we say, corpulent. I mean, the networks would probably line up for a chance to air a reality TV show of, I don't know, call them, what, Meal Team 6? Yeah. Of course, they'd probably have to have multiple defibrillators and various and sundry medical items on hand for the TV show. Oh, and by the way, I had a note from Lady B. She sent me a couple of cop memes over the weekend. One of them, a cop standing in front of a car saying, "Ma'am, do you know why I'm standing here?" And Sarah Silverman in the second photo saying, "There's an active shooter down at the elementary school." Yeah. And oddly enough, during my filthy morning habit at the end of the day today, Jay Johnson, member of the Obama administration, Department of Homeland Security, during those 8 years, said that Democrats have got to get behind the police because we're going to get our asses handed to us if we don't worship the police. Well, thank you. Thank you, Tom and Sonny San Rafael, Cowbell for Texas's Meal Team 6. Thank you. I'm grateful for it. But they brought in by implication Reverend Al, who said, we gotta love the cops. And I think some of the shine's, maybe they're doing this because some of the shine's gone off the police as a result of their bad behavior. Lady B writes, "Cops are chicken shit memes, and Uvalde police, another meme, that monochrome defaced American flag. These colors don't run into schools to save dying children." There we go. "Americans have been making fun of cops since before we were born." Keystone Cops, anybody? "But many people are fed up with their incompetence, and if grown-ass men who are trained in weaponry and whose job description literally requires them to put themselves in danger to protect the citizens they serve can't or won't do it, then we need to reform policing. It should have never become about weapons, cool tactical gear, and over-the-top TV shows about how amazing they are, despite real-life evidence, and we have lots of brave humans who died doing something heroic, but they don't get miles-long funeral processions and live local news coverage." I remember reading a statistic years ago, I'll add editorially, that more construction workers die in any given year than cops. There's no phalanx of bagpipers marching to the tomb or the church for a dead construction worker. No. "I'd be remiss," Lady B says, "if I didn't mention the inexplicably high number of minorities who lose their lives, even if they're not armed, because a cop was afraid of losing their own. And as far as the bad guys, read drug dealers and gangsters with a gun mantra, many white men have spent a fortune making sure they're just as well armed as those guys, so why do cops get away with saying this bullshit about we need more access to guns because bad guys ooga booga?" To quote a line from a blog post I read, "The Uvalde shooter was a good guy with a gun until he shot his grandma." Yeah. "Guns are lethal weapons, and whether you're killing a coyote hunting your livestock or a deer to eat, you're still killing something. Certain guns are specifically designed to kill people, period. If you own that type of gun, you have absolutely had to have considered that murdering someone was a possibility. There's no other reason for an automatic weapon's existence. except to kill people. And yes, protection means you're willing to kill someone if you feel you or your own are threatened. Legally, you're justified, but thou shalt not kill doesn't come with a disclaimer or a caveat. This whole notion that every sighting of an unarmed black guy is probable cause, yet white guys who are open carrying are just exercising their Second Amendment rights, is just madhouse insane. 19 children died because these guys were afraid of an 18-year-old armed with a semi-automatic. They had multiple chances to engage with him, yet failed at every opportunity. They were scared of a guy with an actual lethal weapon. Their incompetence doesn't deserve to be protected. And memes are fun, but if this is how the public views the police, we have a serious problem. What good are they when they clutch their sphincters during a mass shooting at an elementary school or become easily overwhelmed by largely unarmed but violent white protesters who were seriously trying to overthrow our government? We've been integrated as a country, acknowledged or not, for far too long for these fears to still be an excuse. Maybe city and state police forces need to be forcibly integrated and federally run like the military, or at least for a while. Cops in general are viewed as fuck-ups even when they do their jobs properly. And they're viewed as fuck-ups because eventually they always do. At this rate, we're facing two futures. One like Sylvester Stallone played in that dick-waving pro-cop movie Judge Dredd.
I am the law.
Or one where everybody's armed because cops have become insular and are only hired mercenaries for the rich and powerful. I honestly believe we're headed in that direction. That's why we need to take control back now. No more hiding body cam footage. No more refusal to cooperate with local and federal investigations. The Justice Department needs to step in now, otherwise our lives will be like the Judge Dredd movie, with arbitrary justice and nobody obeying the rules because of it. Lady B, always insightful and incisive. And it begs the question, you know, most people's limited interaction with cops will be in the form of being harassed on the highway for a violation of some traffic law, most likely and most usually speed limits. Physics suggests that speed alone is not that big a deal. The interstate highway system was engineered to accommodate certain speeds, and they're a lot higher than what the speeds are that we have speed limits set at now, mostly around 70 or 65. The real questions revolving around speed have to do with populous areas, congested areas, areas where children may be playing, areas around schools. But that's not how the tickets get written. The tickets get written arbitrarily and capriciously for purposes of revenue generation, as my friend always used to refer to them, tax collectors in funny hats, who can, if the mood strikes them, beat the holy hell out of you for any or no reason whatsoever. It's just how it is. So I think Lady B has a point. The question is, how do we reform them? And I don't know the answer to that. Randy Radar says, you've got to remember that the first gun wave way back when was justified by a court case involving police not doing their job. Was gun commerce possibly involved in the Texas case? Well, gun commerce is at the heart and soul of the monstrous rightward shift of the NRA. Enough people weren't buying guns to make enough people insanely wealthy. I mean, I remember when the UMWA, in a desperate bid to build membership, actually organized the Remington plant. so that people who made Remington firearms, I don't know if it's still the case, but back then people who made Remington firearms, and by back then I mean the early part of this century, were actually miners. No shit. Miners. Members of the UMWA sitting there putting barrels onto stocks and putting trigger mechanisms in and bolts and or the automatic feeder, whatever. Yeah. You a member of a union? Yeah, Bill, I am. What are you? Well, I work down to the Remington plant making 30-06s. Oh, so you're part of the tool and die union? No, I'm a miner. Yeah. Funny how that works. Yeah, I mentioned just feeling a little bit creepy with all the shit in Texas and everywhere else that this assault is on. And it is terrifying. I mean, at least to people like me. I woke up this morning to see that that a meme is making the rounds. Shows a picture of Jordan Peterson, and if you don't know who Jordan Peterson is, you know, he's a right wing, one of these. Well, he's referred to as Lobster Daddy in certain circles, because he believes in a rigid patriarchal gender structure. And the meme simply said, "Arrest them all." And the them it was referring to was people like me. Yeah. Won't be long before we get gas them all and throw them all in the ovens. And speaking of guns, well, how about Eric Greitens? He is the embattled gubernatorial candidate out in Missouri, and the eliminationist, and by the way, thank you to our buddy John in Central PA, the eliminationism is profound. Oh, just a second here. Go into the phones in a second. There we go. All better. The Washington Post publishing an opinion by Paul Waldman. To the extent that... Well, the name of the article is "Elite Republicans Are Now Openly Encouraging Political Violence." And it highlights an ad by Eric Greitens standing in front of a doorway with a bunch of camoed up assault cops. Greitens is holding, I guess, a tactical assault shotgun or something. And he's got a pistol on his hip. I'm sorry, not gubernatorial candidate, Senate candidate Eric Greitens. And says, order your rhino hunting permit today. Encouraging people to hunt and kill those he deems to be Republicans in name only. They've already got their own internal party civil war going, and once they sort that out, They'll come for the rest of us. Of course, Republicans doing ads with guns is a... Well, it's almost become passé, hasn't it? Whether it's Roy Tolamore waving around a little pocket shooter with his deputy dog hat on and his little leatherette vest, or marginal trailer queen shooting a Toyota Prius loaded with Tannerite, yeah, or Joe Manchin taking a 30-06 and shooting the cap and trade bill right through the heart. He actually kind of got the ball rolling in a way. Jesus. And the thing is, the get your rhino hunting permit thing isn't just a bit of internet sarcasm. It's a real live, no kidding, political ad from Eric Greitens. As our buddy John in Central PA said, holy fuck, they're getting bold. And this is going, and the boldness they are is going to make it even, it'll make this seem tame eventually. Eventually they'll have a rhino or maybe a tran tied to a chair, and they'll be standing there holding a gun to their head. I think we should shoot them now. You don't have to shoot them now. You can take them home and shoot them later. Ho, ho, ho! Yeah. Well, we are down to $1,300 to go to fill in the fundraising hole. I don't want to sing, but I found a memory from 2016 of a little song parody that I wrote back then during the opening salvos of the Potty Wars. I remember the day that I wrote it. It was actually June 19th, 2016. And for some reason or another, because old DJ brain, Brewer and Shipley's One Toke Over the Line got stuck in my head. And it resulted in one flush over the line, sweet Jesus, one flush over the line. Sitting outside of the Target restroom, one flush over the line. Because the right-wingers were having a hissy because Target had said that they would have gender-neutral bathrooms. Waiting for a chance to go use the potty, praying no trans are in there. Sitting outside of the Target restroom, one flush over the line. Where do they pee? I hope it's not in here. I'm a loving Christian, as long as you're not queer. I felt the pressure and I learned about the trots that my mama said. If I didn't just go on and use the John, then it would surely make me wet. Now I'm one flush over the line, sweet Jesus, one flush over the line. Sitting outside of the Target restroom, one flush over the line. And, of course, I'm sure fundraising is now dead for the remainder of the evening. But that was 6 years ago, and this issue still persists. And the only people being hurt in restrooms are insufficiently feminine cis women, often masculine lesbians and trans people. No cishet Christians were harmed in the making of this bullshit issue. Anyway, let's go over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, hey.
Yes, can you hear me?
I do.
Got me.
I got you.
Ken from the Pennsylvania North Coast.
Good to hear from you.
It is good to hear from you again. Sorry.
Ken, you there?
Yeah.
Dave, is that you?
I got drunk.
Okay.
I got drunk earlier.
Okay. Well, let me go back to Ken and see what's going on there. Then I'll come to you. Okay.
All right.
Hey there, Ken. Okay.
You can hear me.
Yeah, I got you. Just a little technical glitch.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying I couldn't find the envelope this time, you know, last check. So I sent a thank you note.
Yeah, I saw it, and I deposited it last week, as a matter of fact.
So your friend isn't picking up the mail anymore? Or?
No, I have to do it. I have to do it all myself. So I got it and I got it deposited, and hopefully you will see it at some point in time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
because I try to do it in batches so that I don't screw up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But anywho, I'm blown away. We're talking about how we are just talking about.
I'm sorry, you're a little muffled.
I don't understand. Was this better?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I guess it's not better. You know what? I'm gonna try back.
Well, no, are you on a speaker? Are you on speaker or Bluetooth or your regular phone or what?
I don't think so. I'm on this phone.
Odd. Go ahead.
What we just talked about, the last subject matter. Yeah, it's not working, Robin. It's bad radio. I'll try back or something.
Okay, that's cool. Try back Bye. In.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. I don't know what's going on there. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Daryl. $10 a month at one time. Thanks for all you do to keep a sliver of hope alive. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you so much. So that just got us down to $11.75. Thank you for that. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you to Lady B, $11.70. Lady B noting, shut the fuck up in Beyonce's name. We pray. Amen. I understand. Yes. Don't worry. There will be no further. There will be no further singing. Matt in San Francisco says, you're right to be worried. My husband wants to skip the Pride Parade this year due to the potential for an active shooter to arrive on the scene. I haven't had that thought at all until this year. It's getting scary out there. Yeah, it is. Terrifying. And for the first, you know, last year was my first Pride, and it was like, this is a wonderful month. And this year, after what happened in, what is it, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, up in Kootenai County? Said that right, didn't I? Or is it Kootenai? Kootenai? Oh, potato, potato. But the fact that there were 31 organized brown shirts ready to wade into a group of people simply celebrating their freedom and their liberation and maim and kill them. And they all got out on $300 bond, and none of them will face more than a year in jail tops, and none of them will ever see anything approaching that. And I started looking at the calendar going, Jesus Christ, how long does it take for this month to end? How horrifying. That was a new subscription, Ralphs. Thank you to Daryl. So let's run over to the other line. Oh wait, here's let's see if we got Ken back.
So let's run over to the other line.
Okay, now I'm hearing me.
I'm sorry. There's one of my things here.
There, all better now.
Okay, and now you can hear me.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And you're not muffled or muddled.
Oh, wow. Weird. Well, whatever. Modern day telephony, I guess. Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought, so I'm like, whatever. So I'm going to just bring up another moron. Can I do that? I nominate.
Yeah, that's
moron.
Fine.
Okay. But this one's not going to be pleasant. You heard about the Sotomayor speech to a group of, I don't know, maybe almost lawyers or something, and was Clarence Thomas, you know, pubes on the cocaine Thomas. He's a great guy. Because he knows everybody in the office.
Oh, well, that's kind of nothing. That's kind of nothing new, Ken, because Fat Dead Tony Scalia was famously dear friends with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because of course they're on that court. There's only nine of them, and they establish these collegial relationships where they can disagree about how a law should be interpreted or a case should be read.
Robin, they look their own brand. They like to smell their own farts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, remember.
I can't do the Scottish accent. You can do it better. My own brand.
Yeah, they will always defend their, you know, 3-mile buffer zone rule by a 9-0 ruling.
And they're like wearing robes. They're priests now. And they're so out of touch with reality that they think they're in law review, you know, having theoretical arguments. No, these fucking decisions affect real people. And are they really just that gone?
No, they're that privileged. They're well aware of what they're doing, and they have a shit ton of privilege, and they're enjoying it. That's why I've said for years and years and years, there's really no liberal wing to the Supreme Court. They are all institutionalists to one degree or another, and they all support
the money.
They all support the status quo relative to the purpose of the law in the United States of America. All this talk about justice is nothing more than a veneer. They are protecting the economic and social status quo. And it's most obvious when you see one of these rulings in which they hold, you know, 9-0 on something.
Yeah. For sure. Oh God, we're heading for a lot in the air. I mean, just, you know, beyond what we're gonna have, you know, have come at us in the next couple weeks here. I'm anxious, Robin. I'm kind of scared a little bit. You know, a lot of it.
Well, you have a right to be.
Yeah, what the? It's some kind of, I don't know, I guess the Catholics, I don't know, they're worried about Kennedy, but geez, you guys put them this, put him this, you know, shame.
Well, that, 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 but that's a, that's a, that was then, let's this is now kind of situation.
Right.
You know, in 1960, when Kennedy was elected, the fear was that he would answer to the Pope at Rome. And oddly enough, it was people in West Virginia in their primary in 1960 who put paid to that notion. And, of course, Kennedy gave an impassioned speech to the contrary. But now it's not so much the Pope at Rome we have to worry about with this, conservative Catholic majority, so much as the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, whose bidding they do.
Right. Well, Pope of Rome is, you know, he's irrelevant, pretty much. He gets a headline on that and says nice things, but, you know, as far as the Christians here, the, you know, evangelicals, forget it. You know, they could not care less.
Well, no, I mean, they have an agenda, and they are going to force it through. Their agenda is their evangelical theocracy. They, you know, when we talk about the end of constitutional governance here, they're a big part of it because the Constitution has little lines in it like there shall be no religious test for holding office, and they have not held with that provision for generations. And they also don't give a damn about the First Amendment. I've got a story here coming out of Florida, and it's actually kind of important because what has happened is in the state of Florida with Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis's ongoing attacks on a woman's right to choose. Well,
yes.
A couple of Fridays back, a week ago, this past Friday, Congregation L'Adour V'Adour, a synagogue in Boynton Beach, filed suit against the Monkey Up administration and sued, saying that banning abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy violates the religious freedom of Jews because of Jewish law that actually requires an abortion after 15 weeks in some instances. This is a big deal because this is the first I've seen of anybody coming forward and saying, listen, never mind all the Roe language, this is a matter of a government trying to force its religious beliefs on the rest of us. And since the craze lately in American constitutional law is to say that religious liberty trumps everything, then, well, what about the rights of Jewish people to an abortion post 15 weeks? In the lawsuit papers, it says, for Jews, all life is precious, and thus the decision to bring new life into the world is not taken lightly or determined by state fiat. In Jewish law, abortion is necessary if required to protect the health, mental, or physical well-being of the woman, or for many other reasons not permitted by Florida's law. And what's more, the Constitution of the state of Florida itself guarantees the right to abortion. But again, when you're dealing with Republicans, they don't need no stinking laws.
And they're just, you know, wreaking havoc. They're throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks. And, you know, they're going to bog up the courts for eons. And, you know, hopefully it gets up to the Supreme Court where they can have their little theocracy party with, I guess, the so-called liberal court. That's what the media calls it. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but it's hilarious. It's the same. I still want to call in and talk about happy, crappy stuff. yeah, and joke around and be funny like Scott.
Well, sometimes you can, and sometimes we can't. I mean, Moran Monday can be pretty loopy sometimes, but it can also be pretty scary. And the shit coming out of Texas, as crazy and acid rattled as the Republicans right. there appear to be, what they're aiming to do is terrifying on multiple numerous levels.
I mean, we're witnessing history that the gloves are off. Trumped it in. He heralded in. You know, the racism, all the just pent up frustration, these white little excuse the term, bitches, not letting their freak flag fly.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
No, for sure. And then, but it isn't just U.S. It's hard to even get a grasp on, more politics. But, fascism has been on the rise. Again, the loud minority or plurality is the word, right?
Well, a plurality is a large enough number to not quite rise to a majority, right. But make enough, but be big enough to make a noise. And in right. modern yeah. and in 20th to 21st century, a plurality seems to be defined as assholes who want to ruin everybody else's life.
Right.
I mean, go back and watch the Ken Burns documentary. Go back and watch the Ken Burns documentary on prohibition. That's a good example of a plurality making life miserable right. for other people.
Right. But yeah, that kind of grew out of the women's suffrage movement, as far as I remember. My history is not so good as yours. But it was hard to follow Lady B. She's just so wow. Wish I could write like that.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I always kind of want to write in the show. I think I'm going to write in the show, but then I end up, doing 5 rewrites, and then, you know what? I'm sorry, I don't have the time. I love you, but I love the whole family. I just, I can't do it.
No, I understand.
Because I know that my English is not good. No bueno.
Well, not necessarily no bueno.
But, yeah. But I kind of kid, of course. It's a Dunning-Kruger effect. Smart people think they're not as smart as they are, and, dumb people think they're smarter than they are.
Well, I mean, that's the nice thing about what we have going here. We've got people who are probably smarter than they know they are. Lady B was saying the other day about how, anytime anything she sends in has been edited remorselessly. Well, I mean, that's just a thing that happens. And then, and then there's writing on the fly, which results in things like, "In Beyonce's Name We Pray, Shut the Fuck Up," back when I was singing. And, they both have their place.
Right.
So, how is everything going generally for you, Ken?
Pretty darn good. Considering what I've been through, I hate to use the term, miraculous recovery or, you know, from my stroke. Got out golfing, and buy some new clubs. Just trying to get my life back in order.
Oh, I understand that. But, I really, really do.
You got to make it a living, too. So, yeah, crazy. I found my notebook. I got 5 pages of notes that from programs that I've listened to in the past. Well, it's double spaced, so it isn't that much. That's kind of weird. I guess it's kind of like journaling. So I put a bunch of things together and have arrows pointing to different ideas. It's really weird. I mean, maybe it's like Glenn Beck on the blackboard. That's what my notebook looks like. I think it's funny. I don't know.
I think it's cool.
And just all these ideas come around in my head. And I mean, talk about any number of things. But I don't know. It's cool, but it's deranged or obsessive and not enough to anything.
Well, I mean,
I'm not affecting change. Well, hopefully I could at some point, but.
Well, look, you know, there's only one way to eat an elephant. One bite at a time.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you can't take it in one bite.
Oh, man. I got a freaking mouthful. You know, I got to stop drinking, stop smoking. I got too much, too big of a bite. And now it could be my own worst enemy. And you know, I'm afraid about the future. So, I don't know. I want to make this a happy call, but now it's, you talked me in a dark place. Thanks, Robin.
Oh, that makes me happy. Because you know what, we all have them. We all have them, and sometimes you know, as long as, you know, when we know we have community around us, we can maybe find a way out of them. Sooner rather than later.
Right, for sure, it helps the event and combine people. When like minds are here, and it's a good, nice, another buzzword, safe space. That reminds me, I'm a nice, you know, sycophant of yours, Robin, and fuck you, Carol. So
what?
Yeah, never, Carol.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of digging deep into the stack for that one.
Yeah, for sure. you gotta love that hate mail, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, go. Anyway, I should probably let somebody else talk. So I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Sounds good.
And hopefully, it's good next month.
All right, take care. I mean, maybe it's been so long that my slice has disappeared, and it'll be like starting. He's a husband of the.
Radio off. Okay.
It's pleasant on the podcast. Okay. We may be back to that setting on the dryer, otherwise known as normal. Thanks, Suman and Billable Rick, and thank you, Randy Radar, for letting me know that we had buffered up and gone away. I get involved in the conversations, and I don't necessarily pay attention to the fact that, the computer screen's gone black. At least it wasn't a blue screen of death. Yeah, my life. Anyway, let's see if Scott's still there. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, hi there.
Much better.
Okay, good. Because I had my... there was hillbilly music on the red icon, and there was... classical music on the red icon, and hillbilly music on the blue icon. But now if we're back, I'll take your word for it, damn it.
Well, you know, that's probably your fault. You're only supposed to listen to one stream at a time. I'm kidding.
Well, I know. Well, it's like that... I had somebody going on the radio years ago. They were complaining that I played The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia too often, because this was back when that song was in heavy rotation. And I finally got tired of it. I said, look, I'm not really supposed to tell you this, but we're licensed with an antenna height of thus and so and 3,000 watts effective radiated power. I said, due to FCC regulations, at this frequency, at that antenna height, only a certain number at a time of radios can be tuned in. And if you come back and bother me with the fucking Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, I'm going to make sure that you won't hear anything. You'll have to go down to WPGC and do Top 40 for a while.
It's beautiful. And, you know, people believe you.
Well, if you use enough jargon, people will buy right into whatever you're selling, you know? That was kind of mean, but I mean, you know, what can you do when you get an irate caller with nothing on their mind except, I don't like that song, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. I'm not from Georgia, but you see, I just don't like it. Well, how much of that am I going to take? Well, earlier when you were speaking about politicians and using guns as props in their commercials,
right?
You left out my favorite one. What was her name? Ida Baker Priest. That was the old Treasury lady years ago. She was the gray-haired lady from down south somewhere, and she was like in the House, and then she's now the governor. Kay Baker Eddy Marion.
Yes.
What is her name? Ivy. The old lady, Granny Goose, I call her.
You wait. Where from?
Georgia, I think, or Alabama.
Are you talking about Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw?
Yeah, but what's her actual name?
Kay Ivey.
Kay Ivey. I knew there was an Ivy, and I knew there was a K. But anyway, or three Ks, now that I think about it, in quick succession. But she does this commercial where she's sitting there with her pocketbook, and she pulls out the chapstick, and she pulls out the iPhone, and, oh, what's this? And pulls out a fucking revolver. And I'm thinking, good God, have we come to this at long last? Have we no decency? What a crazy woman.
Well, pretty much.
Well,
at this point in time, you can't be a Republican candidate, Scott, unless you're shooting something.
Yeah.
I mean, their entire Republican fundraising and outreach and comms outfits that spend all their time just, okay, what can we shoot?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that your guy up there, not your guy, but
yeah,
guy.
Joe from the Mansion Born, yes.
Did he shoot a watermelon or a phone book or what the hell was
No, he shot the, God damn it, he shot the cap and trade bill.
Well, it's about the size of a phone book now that I think.
No, it was a little bit of nothing. It was three or four pages just tacked to a tree.
Oh, that's
I think they may have been using like a stunt cap and trade bill.
Well, he needs to stop that, and he needs to stop that right now. I wanted to, the message I had for Ken, and hopefully his stream is back on his device of choice for listening. When he was talking about the Pope, it made me, now we're going to take a little radio road trip. Are you up for one of those?
Fire up the clown car.
Okay, the you know where Washington, D.C. is, Disneyland on the Potomac.
Yeah, I know it well. I know exactly how to get there by several routes.
And about 40 miles due north is Baltimore, Charm City,
mm-hmm.
John Waters and the late Divine, who was
and our dear friend Reverbo.
Yes. Okay. Well, about midway between Baltimore and Washington, there was and may still be a little radio station at 900 on the dial, daytimer, 1,000 watts in all directions. Had to sign off at sunset. WLMD in Laurel. The place where George Wallace got shot at.
I thought that was Silver Springs.
No, he was in Laurel. Take my word for it. I'll never forget that day. Well, anyway, back in the early 70s, a friend of mine, Dennis Richards, the man you love to hate, did a midday talk show on WLMD, the talk of the Capitol, because during the daytime when the station was on, when all the little squirrels and gerbils were running to keep it powered up, he did talk radio. He was one of the first outrageous talk show hosts. And he used to have this regular caller. The station could be heard in both Washington and Baltimore, that whole area. It had a hell of a nice signal right there in the middle of the dial. But anyway, he used to have an old lady calling from somewhere. She never would say what city she was calling from. But he called her the Powers of Darkness Lady. And her shtick, and this is back in the days of Pope Paul VI, the rather meek and mild little gentleman of Italian extraction, where she used to get on her rant and she would end it with this comment, "The Pope is an unredeemed Jew." And then she'd hang up. And no, she'd laugh maniacally.
Something like that.
You're not the Powers of Darkness Lady, are you? Uh-oh.
I'll never tell.
She would cackle maniacally. Do it again. I like that. And then hang up on Dennis. And he would say, "Well, we thank the Powers of Darkness Lady for checking in one more time and letting us know."
And the funny thing is, back then she was a little, kind of a whack-a-mole, whack-a-doodle, you know, right-wing, whatever.
Yeah, just your average.
Now she's a mainstream Republican.
Oh, she's
her grandkid holds elected office, I'm sure.
And she's secretary of the
and says that shit out loud.
Yeah, yeah. But when Ken was talking about the Pope and the Catholics, I said, "My God, that made me think of the Powers of Darkness Lady," and I'll bet Robin will get a kick out of it. You did.
I did. And you took me back to those days of. Oh, WBCF AM 1240, Florence, Alabama.
Is that the gospel station?
No. This was the station that actually played some decent music once in a while. But during the day, they also played the Alan Stang Report. This is Alan Stang. Think about it.
I remember that. That was a syndicated, like a...
It was a syndicated, like, five-minuter courtesy of the John Birch Society.
Oh, my God. Now, that's a memory. Remember Milton?
It was like some sort of collector series. Every day there'd be a new communist.
Oh, yeah, under every bed.
Part of the Marxist-Leninist conspiracy. That's right. I'm talking about Gerald Ford.
I remember that guy. You remember H.L. Hunt, the oil guy from Texas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had his own little five-minute radio program hosted by a guy named Melvin Munn from Dallas.
I remember Mel.
Lifeline, I think, was the name of the show.
Yeah.
And it was sponsored by... You talk about survivalists way back then. It was some company that sold freeze-dried food for those.
Yeah, again, none of this is new. It's just that there's a generation that's hearing it for the first time and thinks, "What the fuck?"
This is
the Republican Party since at least 1964.
Yeah, they're buying into it, lock, stock, and a barrel full of freeze-dried food.
and Jim Baker, bucket pudding.
Oh, God. Has he finished that bucket yet?
Every time I say bucket pudding, it just sounds filthy, and even filthier now.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they're lining up. They got their credit cards ready, calling in that toll-free number. Because they got a...
And if you call now, you'll get a complimentary 90-day supply of Super Beats.
Well, when the time of tribulation comes, we gotta eat.
You know, it says right there. It's right there in Holy Scripture that once people who do not receive the mark of the beast will be able to neither buy nor sell.
That's right.
So you better buy now.
My thing is with the freeze-dried food, the ready-to-eat meals or whatever, don't you need water to, like, hydrate that stuff?
Some yes, some no.
Where are you going to get the water? I mean, you can sit out and wait for it to rain, but if you're in parts of the country that don't get a lot of rain...
Well, friends, that's why you want to buy our modern, up-to-date, thoroughly technologically amazing rain filtration and gathering cistern system. It'll only set you back $15,000, and you can make it in one easy payment.
Or a do-it-yourself water kit will send you a tank of oxygen. And what else is in water?
Your own little dihydrous monoxide factory.
That's right, friends. For only $99,999 COD.
Operators are standing by.
That's right, because we're too cheap to bomb seats. Anyway, they're standing and we're ready to take your call.
They're outstanding. They're outstanding, Stang? Right there. Outstanding in their field.
Now, wasn't no relation to Arnold Stang, the guy who was the voice of Top Cat, I hope.
No, I don't know.
What was his name again?
Alan Stang.
Stang. Yes, I know that name.
Beep.
I am thinking about it, Alan. Now go away. Well, speaking of going away, I've got to, you probably heard this sad news already. Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the episode about Jerry's overdue library book?
Mm-hmm.
And the library policeman, Mr. Bookman?
Right.
Okay. The actor who portrayed Mr. Bookman, along with a lot of other roles over his... Yeah, Philip Baker Hall died about a week or so ago.
Well, thank God we hadn't just played an up-tempo record.
Well, that's right. Get down on the phone.
Where are those pictures? You know, I think it's getting to be a point with when you and I talk that if get down on the phone and where are those pictures I was supposed to see doesn't enter into the conversation. I don't know. It may be the last thing that's holding the universe together. And get Don on the phone.
Don?
I don't know why I have to come out of a goddamn up-tempo record. Dedication.
The reason I bring up the late Mr. Hall is to recommend to you and the Horn family a TV viewing tip. He does a one-man show in this film, which was directed by Robert Altman. It was one of the probably the least known Robert Altman film ever made. Philip Baker Hall plays Richard Nixon there toward the end, and it's a one-man tour de force. He's in the Oval Office, and before it's over, he's talking to the pictures on the wall. It's called Secret Honor, and it's on YouTube if you want to check it out. It's about a 90-minute show. But I'm telling you, he acts his ass off. Now, he doesn't look a lot like Nixon. He does sound a bit like Nixon. But in this film, he is just batshit crazy like Nixon was. Secret Honor. You'll thank me later. Check it out. Put it on your list to watch that show, because I watched it the other night because I had seen it once before some years back. And I'd never heard of it. I went through life not even knowing it existed. And somebody turned me on to it. And I said, my God, what a great show. What a great show.
Okay, say it again. Title?
Secret Honor.
Okay, well, and speaking of movie, for some reason or another.
Yes.
I had a hankering, and I don't know, you know, it's kind of like. You know when you've got a thought or a notion or an idea and it's in you and you just can't quite get your hands on it?
Yeah, yeah.
And it just and you got to just sort of let it float. Well, for some reason or another, I rewatched the 2012 film Hemingway and Gellhorn.
Oh, yes.
Clive Owen and Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Both turned in fantastic performances. And there is, and I didn't notice it the first time through, maybe because it was 2012, and well, you know, things were a little better back then.
Marginally.
But the film is interspersed with actual footage from the Spanish Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when Gellhorn and Hemingway met and got to know each other.
Yeah. When was that? About 1931?
One.
One, yeah.
And no, actually, no, it was post 1933 because in meeting Hemingway, she references the fact, I just got back from Berlin, and those Nazis, they scare me. And then she makes some remark about, well, you know, blondes get a free pass in the Third Reich.
Yeah.
And she was very definitely blonde.
I remember that film. Is it streaming somewhere?
It's anytime you want to watch it on HBO Max.
Okay. I'm gonna watch because I.
But I actually backed the film up and played it again and pulled out my phone and took a picture of a scene. The character played by David Strathern, who's a fantastic actor. I first found out about him in Mate One. He played Two Gun Sid Hatfield.
Did you ever see him in Good Night and Good Luck?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. And Dolores Claiborne?
Oh, just fantastic actor. Well, so there's a... he has this line where he says, and the only people, and the reason people don't know what's happening in Spain is because the only media coming out, only he didn't say media, the only information coming out is coming out through the fascists. And he does this speech about fascism is on the march in the world, which of course it was.
And is.
And that's the thing, and is. And they showed, original video of these assholes carrying crosses, wearing silk and satin robes with pointy white hats over their heads.
Where have I seen that before?
And I'm like, oh! And then I realized, wait, those aren't Klansmen. Oh, those are European fascists.
Yeah.
Imagine that. And I sat there watching the... the basic tenet, and they said, you know, at one point the remark is made that Germany and Italy are pouring guns and money into Spain in support of Franco, while the free world does nothing.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is bearing striking similarities to what we're looking at right now.
I do have a disagreement, a slight disagreement with you about something you were talking about earlier, about we're going to eventually go from the Cold Civil War to another hot one.
Yeah.
I don't think that they would do that. I think they're...
Put an army in the field? No. But the modern hot Civil War doesn't look like 1861 anymore.
It's more like guerrilla warfare.
It's dudes with semi-automatic weapons running around in Adidas tracksuits and tennis shoes. And to a certain extent, Scott, it's already hot.
Well, yeah.
19 children in Uvalde, Texas, found that out the hard way.
Well, that's what I mean. Those types of incidents. There may be a regular hot civil war. Although I don't think, see, you remember Waco?
Sure. Ruby Ridge.
And Ruby Ridge. I think our institutions, our law enforcement, I hope to God our law enforcement institutions have gotten whatever act they have to get together, because we could put that down without breaking a sweat, I think, if it were a concentrated, concerted effort on their part to go to war with the United States of America. But when you've got these random things that pop up just out of nowhere, seemingly, although we do know the root cause of that, easy access to guns and no treatment for things wrong with your head is where a lot of that comes from. I would hate to see it happen, break out, you know, all out war. And I think as long as the potshot approach is working for them, they'll keep doing that, because there's no warning, by and large. Usually they go to the deceased shooter's residence, usually in the mom's basement or whatever, and they find a manifesto or all kinds of Nazi crap or who knows what that gets into their head and makes them want to act up and act out. That's my take on it. However it rears its ugly head, we've got to do everything that we can legally to keep it from happening. Otherwise, it's going to happen, as it happened in fascist Spain, and as it happened in Italy during Mussolini's time, and as it happened in Germany in the lifetime of maybe some people listening to this program.
And see, if I could perhaps draw a distinction here, and I think it's actually kind of important.
Okay.
The right doesn't overtly say we're bringing back fascism. They use the language of fascism to say we're bringing back traditional values, we're going to crush the deviants, we need traditional family values, which are all fascist talking points. But they, on the other hand, you've got the so-called left and the kind of far left, who are like, you know, we need a revolution, and they're still using that tormented language of breaking Marx and Engels. You know, we need a revolution of the proletariat. Oh, honey, 90% of the country can't spell proletariat, let alone know what it means.
Well, that too.
And there, yeah. and there's a, you know, there's a messaging war there. And the fascists are winning it. And make no mistake, it's kind of interesting to me, insofar as I've been talking about the rise of fascism in the United States since 2003. And it's taken almost 20 years for the so-called mainstream to actually even say the F word, fascism. But these are goddamn fascists. And you say, and a civil war won't necessarily play out with armies in the field, but by the same token, make no mistake, there are elements that are trying to make that happen. There are elements in this country who want nothing more than to see a subverted military, a subverted law enforcement community. And that's exactly what the Oath Keepers and the Free Percenters were founded to do. To infiltrate and subvert the active duty military and the law enforcement community. And that's the thing. They have succeeded. I've said on a number of occasions, Scott, and I know you know, I think that there, and this is, you know, the Alex Jones portion of my paranoia, I think there are actually people in the Pentagon and in the executive branch who do know how thoroughly the military has been infiltrated, and they can't say it out loud because it's fucking terrifying to behold.
Yeah. And then you've got your enabling politicians, federal, state, and local, in virtually all parts of the country. So you can't get away from it. It exists to some degree everywhere. And it's just a toxic brew. And it's not quite bubbling up over the edges of the cauldron, but they're moving in that direction. And I'm, you know, God bless him, the president. God bless him. I know he means well, but you can't reason with unreasonable people. You can't give a speech or a talk that I don't know, the emphasis is in the wrong place. I mean, yeah, he says a lot of platitudinous things, if that's a word. And I agree with him, and you agree with him, and a lot of people say, yes, he speaks the truth. But it's not going to be enough to merely know the truth or speak the truth politely. And I say what the answer isn't. I'm not sure what the answer is, given all of the things that we've just...
Oh, hell, described. The answer is always money.
I'm going to write that down. Money to whom?
Well,
I mean, the last time I gave a political contribution...
No. It's about media. It's about messaging. And it's about getting something beside... I mean, I can't tell you how nauseating that speech from Jay Johnson was, that speechifying from Jay Johnson was earlier today on My Filthy Morning Habit.
And what did he say again?
We've got to show that the Democrats have to show that they love and respect the cops.
Well, yes, we do, but that's not really where the problem is.
Because there are all these murders taking place all over the country all the time. Everybody's getting murdered. Well, and I couldn't believe that somebody as intelligent as Jay Johnson was saying that on a platform as big as you know, Morning Filthy Habit. Utterly, I mean, how do you say that a month after Uvalde? Why aren't we saying, you know, we've got a clean house? I mean, the cops in Coeur d'Alene would not have known what was about. Can you imagine the nightmare that would have transpired at that pride celebration in Coeur d'Alene, Scott?
Oh, yeah. And they were, I mean...
And the cops did not uncover it, and they said that out loud. Hey, we had not a clue this was going to happen.
Wasn't it somebody in a retail establishment who saw them and called in the report?
Yeah, I think it might have been a hotel clerk or something.
Yeah. And if that's your first line of defense, then you've got to rethink your battle plan.
What happens if that clerk happens to think the way they do and doesn't pick up the phone?
There you go.
I mean, you know, I guess a lot of people wouldn't have been at a pride celebration. But, you know, I had the email from Matt earlier talking about how they may not go to the pride parade in San Francisco. San Francisco, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And they want for people to
because
be
of course a place like San Francisco would be the kind of place that one of these murderous outfits would see as the perfect target.
And they wouldn't even bother with a Twinkie defense, if you remember that.
No, there would be no.
And Dan White.
Yeah, no, they just God damn it, they had it coming.
They were strutting in public.
They were ramming their LGBTQ down our God-loving Christian heterosexual throats.
Yeah, there you are. I'm in the Bible for it. Hold this, don't you know?
It's right there. It's right there in Philippians 6:9.
Oh, hey.
And behold, in them days shall come among you the drag queens with stories.
Yeah, I'd have Mrs. Lott tell you all about it, but she's done turned into
no, a she's a, oh, no, she's a salty thing, that woman.
The cows are licking on her as we speak.
Did you say the cows are licking on her ass?
No, as we speak.
Oh, okay.
Well, they might have.
That'd be a salty salad to toss, I'm telling you.
If you got a particularly short cow and that's all the cow can reach, well, salt is salt. I mean, what can I say? when it rains, it pours.
Oh, but, you know, if you leave us alone long enough, we'll get to one of those exchanges.
Right into the gutter. Yep. Right into the gutter. But, yeah, I mean, we're making light a little bit of serious things. But I'm telling you, folks, wherever you are, whenever you have an opportunity to vote, please vote and take some friends with you and vote intelligently. Because to the extent we can keep them out of office, we'll help address that area of concern. But see, it's like whack-a-mole, Robin. It's you know, once upon a time, they were kind of closeted. They've done a switch, a reverse or something. Once upon a time, you'd see them do a rally once a year somewhere over something, and then they'd go away to their wherever their hidey hole was and just talk amongst themselves in hushed, crazy tones. But today, they're loud and proud, and they're the wrong kind of loud and proud, if you ask me. Go ahead and ask me.
Well, what kind of loud and proud are they, Scott?
They're the wrong kind of loud and proud, Robin.
I'll be damned. I was pretty sure that was going to be the answer.
Write that on the board 100 times, damn it. But I'm serious. I never thought I would live to see the day. Honest to God, I'm sounding like the old coot that I'm becoming. I never thought I would live to see the day when things were as batshit crazy and that madness on a large scale, no matter where you looked, was a discernible possibility. And sometimes I don't know what to do. All I can do is speak whatever truth I have access to and encourage people. First of all, don't be afraid. We still have time to forestall and hopefully eliminate the possibility of this sort of madness unfolding. But you can't get it done by doing nothing. You have got to apply yourself in whatever way you can with voting intelligently and having conversations with people who may be, you know, easily swayed by these folks. You may not get them, but there are a lot of right-thinking folks. And by right-thinking folks, I'm talking about decent people who don't buy into that crap and are as concerned about it as we are. And we've got to stick together. And we've got to buddy up with people that may not agree with us 100%, but are at least wise enough to know that that way ultimately lies madness. Am I even close to being?
Oh no, you're not close. You're on it.
All right,
and burning up, just... warmer, on fire, burning up.
And it doesn't take a lot to keep things from going completely off the rails, but you've got to do it faithfully and consistently and bring people with you. And a lot of these fuckers are going to die off because a good number of them, you know, got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel as it is. It's this younger generation that buys into this crap that scares the hell out of me, and probably you too. And about them, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. Well, here I was with a happy call, and where have we ended up?
Well, and Don still hasn't showed up with those pictures either.
Get Don on the phone. Well, let's talk about, is there any happy news?
Oh, let me check the news here.
Okay. Despair, agony, oh me.
Yeah, I know.
Deep, dark depression.
Excessive misery.
If it weren't for bad luck.
Might have no luck at all.
Oh, gloom, despair, and agony.
Was it gloom or doom? Yeah. I always thought it was doom, despair, and agony.
Well, it might have been.
Because of the alliterative function.
Wait a minute, let me get my hillbilly phrase book. And what page would that be on? Oh, this one's been hanging in the little house out back. Ain't no more pages in it, Robin. I don't know what to do. Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say disparaging things about people who live out in the country. My people on my daddy's side lived in the country for a long time.
They live in the country? Did they live in the country, Scott?
Down there by Manassas.
Right there by Bull Run?
No, well, no, they were a little...
No, they couldn't have been townsfolk.
No, they're in Hoadley. Do you know where Hoadley is?
I know where Hoadley is.
Oh, my God. Laurel and Hoadley in one call. What have I done? This is a radio.
Oh, that reminds me. That was actually why I was going to go to the browser, because I think it may just be a boundary thing. But I want to sort this out, and the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department didn't jump on it.
Napping on the job. Come on, people.
Now, we're going to find out just how much of a smartass the search engine is, because I just typed, where was George Wallace shot? And if it comes back and says in the spine, I'm going to be very angry.
Laurel Shopping Center, I'm telling you, Robin. I've been there. I wasn't there that day, but...
Okay, that's yeah, Laurel, Maryland. Maybe it was the Silver Spring Shopping Center, because I guess there's the boundaries. But
Silver Spring's a if you look at D.C. like a clock, Silver Spring would be at noon, more or less. And Laurel is like halfway between Baltimore and D.C.
Yeah.
Now, I believe he had been in Silver Spring earlier that day, or maybe I think it was in Prince George's County somewhere. I know where Silver Spring is coming from. He went to Holy Cross Hospital in Silver Spring.
Okay.
That was the only hospital in the area at the time that had, you know, like a trauma unit, something like that. It was the nearest hospital with that facility. Yeah, and he was in there for weeks, if not months.
Yeah. It was Laurel. You're right. I was wrong.
Yeah.
But they took him to the hospital in Silver Springs.
Yeah, George Holy Cross Hospital. I believe it's a Catholic hospital. Well, it must be off. Well, not necessarily. It could be. Well, never mind. Never mind. I don't want to go down that Roman rabbit hole. Because you know the Pope is an unredeemed Jew.
I know my cue.
The powers of darkness, lady. Aye, aye, aye. But it just boggles the mind. Could I get back to Watergate briefly?
Yeah, sure.
I've been on YouTube. There's a guy, I can't think of his name, Michael somebody, has compiled a bunch of YouTube videos with the testimony from of these various Republicans during the Senate Watergate hearings. And first of all, I can't believe it's been 50 years, okay? But it has been. And I remember watching those hearings through that summer, because it was the summer of 73 when I had my first radio job, and I worked 6 to midnight, and you had to be across Woodrow Wilson Bridge by 4 back in those days if you wanted to avoid not getting over the bridge. And it was an hour's drive to the station. So anyway, I would get over the bridge, go down by Waldorf, have dinner somewhere, and then drive the rest of the way to the station. But and I watched those hearings back when they happened, and I have been watching them for the past week or so, knowing that the 50-year anniversary of Watergate is coming up, even though those hearings were the following year. But I'm telling you that they are, if you have the time to watch any of them, you can see the difference between then and now. Back then, say what you will about the Republican Party, but 49 years ago, when the hearings were taking place, you had Republicans who weren't crazy. Now, some of them had some odd notions, like your Barry Goldwater or your whomever. But by and large, they were halfway decent people in many respects, and their minds weren't polluted.
Well, they hadn't gone full revolutionary,
right?
But that shit ended in 1964. I mean, Barry Goldwater lived to see, and if some of his closer friends are to be believed, Barry Goldwater lived to see the party that he loved become, the embryo of the insurrectionist party that exists today.
Yeah.
And I keep hammering this fact. I think it's important because if we get caught up in the notion, I mean, Nitwit Nero did what Nitwit Nero did. And he is guilty. He is as guilty as banished Cain. Okay.
Yeah.
But he was only able to do what he did because a lot of people had spent a lot of time, Scott, radicalizing the Republican Party and driving any sense of moderation from it.
Exactly. And that's where I was going with this, because as quaint as Watergate hearings were back in 73, all through the spring and into the summer, the best we can manage, and I applaud them for their efforts with the January 6th panel, but it's usually a 2 or 3 hour segment every few nights or days or whenever the hell it's on, okay? And they're getting it done, but the viewership, I don't know what to make of 20 million viewers for that first session. Now, granted, it's probably about 19 million more than The Apprentice got, which is probably...
Yeah, well, yeah, I went over that the other night.15 million more than the best Apprentice episode ever. It is 12 million more than the best Celebrity Apprentice. It was better than the NBA Finals. But the problem is that 20 million viewers... is what? Something less than somewhere around maybe 6.5-7% of the entire population of the country.
And that ain't going to do it. I'll bet you if you look up the number of viewers, well, hell, they say that in D.C., if you were in a cab, it was on the radio. If you were in a department store, it was on all the TVs in the appliance section. If you were in an office, people would bring their little black and white portable TVs in.
Right.
I would love to hear the rating that the Senate Watergate sessions got. There was interest,
but the problem, Scott, is that is an era where there are three, maybe four channels tops.
Yeah.
ABC, CBS, NBC, and whatever state's public television network.
And plus maybe an independent if you were in a big enough town.
Right. So it will by definition, and it changed the advertising structures, the rise of multiple cable channels, and it changed rate cards.
Yeah.
And it changed the definition of success.
Yeah. And the other big difference, Robin, if you look at these Senate Watergate hearings, they were bipartisan. You had an equal number of Democrats and an equal number of Republicans. And the Republicans, there at the beginning, Howard Baker of Tennessee was kind of Nixon's man. He would consult with the White House to find out what his marching orders were. But there was a tipping point along the way as these witnesses appeared day after day and week after week. And he stopped carrying water for old Richard Milhouse. Okay? In today's world, they had to beg and plead to get two Republicans on the January 6th panel, and they're just rhinos anyway. They're not even worthy of the name Republican in the otherwise empty minds of these twerps running things now on that side of the aisle. So you got low viewership. It doesn't seem to be bipartisan to their way of thinking. It's on at very odd hours. You don't know when it's going to be on. and as good a job as they could ever do, if there's no viewership to see what they're presenting.
Right, it's the tree falling in the forest with no one to hear it.
There you go. There you go. Give that lady
and,
a box
you know, I remember,
of Snickers.
Well, thank you. And a year's supply of rice around the San Francisco
and,
treat.
And 50 silver dollars.
But, you know, the, I remember years ago when, you know, Fox would bray about how, well, you know, Bill O'Reilly is the most watched cable news. Well, if you fudge the numbers enough, but the fact of the matter is Bill O'Reilly got his ass handed to him every night by SpongeBob.
Yeah.
But and it's the, and so it's, you know, it's not just one voice. It is the ubiquity of right wing talking points. Where you, you know, you drive to work and there's a morning drive right wing asshole. And you go, you go out for a sandwich at lunch hour, and there's a the midday asshole. You know, I remember when Fat Dead Limbaugh, king the queen of the pineapples, used to bray about how they're my friends. They are gathering in restaurants for Limbaugh listening time.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was ever any truth to that. But for every day part, I remember going out to Taco Bell at lunch hour when I was working in Charleston, and the cheap shit station there that didn't want to pay for Limbaugh would instead be running the G. Gordon Liddy show.
Oh God!
Which at least had comic value. If you can find humorous the ravings of an absolutely homicidal maniac behind a mic.
The fucker would play German martial music
yes.
from the Hitler era. I'm not making that up.
No, you're not. I heard it.
I used to listen to him from time to time just to see how fucking crazy he could get. And I finally had to turn it off.
But the thing is, you've got something in every day part until you get home. And then while you're eating dinner, you're watching Fox. And then by the time you've had your dinner and a couple of beers, there's O'Reilly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the radio dial and the cable dial is, and if Fox isn't crazy enough for you, you've got what is that thing called? One America, America
oh,
One.
Oh, yeah, it's yeah.
You've got your
the thing is there's something for every crazy.
Yes.
And because they've day-parted the goddamn thing so thoroughly and well, frankly expertly, you don't have to worry about them ever actually hearing any facts.
And here, this, you may not know this. I may tell you something you don't know, and you know a lot. You got, they've taken over AM. They've made inroads into FM. They're all over cable TV. But guess where else they are, Robin? For if you're an old school esoteric type. Have you ever heard some of the shit going on shortwave radio?
Oh, I can only imagine.
It's bought blocks of time on these, quote, religious stations on shortwave. And they're really tearing up Jack over there. There's some militia types that are given, well, they pay for it.
Oh, yeah. And you can find it. You can find it on every social media platform.
Well, that too.
And to a certain extent. And remember, we're down. What did we make it to? 1170 on your AM dial. No, we've got $1,170 to go to catch up with fundraising. And that's a terrifying hole to be in because it makes it more and more unlikely that we will finish June to the good.
Well, I've got some good news for you then.
Yes?
I've got to run mine near the end of the month numbers, but there will be something coming your way from yours truly.
Well, thank you, Scott.
I've been...
thank you.
Doing the cleaning for the housing people inspection coming up in July. So I haven't been keeping real close tabs on my budget. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be probably, I mean, this is not going to pay the entire 1170, but I might take you down to 1160, thereabouts.
That'd be grand.
You know?
You know, if everybody, if we did that consistently, we wouldn't get in these holes.
Yeah.
And well, some, yeah. you know, and you know, I've got to, Shit, I got to figure out some way to get health insurance, and I don't know how, and I don't know where in the budget an extra $1,750 comes from. That was the last that was the premium that killed my coverage.
And that's not like the gold plan.
No, hell no.
That's like your bare minimum plan.
Yeah, it was maybe a notch above bare minimum because it didn't have a $10,000 deductible on it.
Oh yeah, the fucking deductibles.
But I've got to do that. I'm too old to be running around uninsured, and I don't know how I'm going. I mean, I talk about silly shit like I'd like to take a vacation. Well, that's just not going to happen. Closest thing to a vacation I'm going to have is if I'm able to go down and get my almost 1 year checkup from my surgeon. Yay!
Well, why do they call it affordable health care? Because most people I know can't afford it.
Well, I think it's because you might afford it if you were able.
Well,
see how that works? Oh, by the way, since we were talking about, you know, cold Civil War to hot Civil War, real quick, and then I want to get at least one more phone call in. Out your way, how far are you from San Bernardino?
Oh, a couple hours. They're kind of inland and to the north.
Yeah, well, early Saturday morning in San Bernardino County, some deputies pulled over a car for suspected vehicle code violations. And we don't know what that is. You know, maybe it's a taillight out or
air freshener on the rearview mirror.
Dead tag, you know, whatever. But they just happened, and this is another case of, they just happened to stumble onto a potential disaster.
In San Bernardino, imagine that.
Yeah, a little after 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, I pulled over a Ford Taurus near Joshua Tree National Park, and the occupants of the car were David Russell, aged 50, and Jeffrey Russell, aged 46, and they both proudly explained to the San Bernardino County deputies that, by God, they were sovereign citizens.
Oh, God.
And then they ran their IDs or ran their identities, and found out that both men were not legally allowed to possess firearms. So they said, I don't know if they got consent to search, or if they went and got a search warrant. Judge, we got a couple of sovereign citizens here. I know, wrong accent. But they searched the vehicle and found live ammunition, black gunpowder, and an improvised military-grade explosive device.
Jesus.
So that was enough to make them go to the judge and say, Your Honor, I think we need to look at where these Nijinskys live.
Gotta go see the bunker.
So they went out to Johnson Valley, California.
Where I don't know where that is.
I don't think you want to. But they found them some more military-grade explosives and ammunition. They also found a bunch of firearms that these fellas weren't allowed to have. And they arrested Venus Mooney, aged 54, a woman who was also at the compound.
Venus Mooney?
And they booked them into the Morongo Basin Jail, which doesn't sound like a jail you really... There aren't any jails you want to be in, but this doesn't sound great. The Morongo Basin Jail... on charges of possession of an explosive device and possession of a controlled substance while armed. Weed's legal. Is it still a controlled substance in California? Or does this mean they had him a little bag of crank?
What's the name of the jail they went to?
Morongo Basin.
So I guess old Otis had to sober up and go home for a day or two.
It's a long walk back from Morongo Basin to Mayberry.
So have they been arraigned? Are they going to be held?
That's all I got.
Oh well.
But who knows what they wanted to, you know, do with their improvised military grade explosive devices.
Well, it's still June. There's still Pride stuff going on. So
shit! Don't even say that. But I mean, yeah, you say that because it's sayable. Well, Scott, let me roll out of here. And Dave's been patiently waiting. I want to get a little time in with Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
That's okay.
Well, all right. You take care. Horn family, take care. Do what you can to keep the thing going, or I'm going to come over there, and you don't want me coming over there.
Don't make him stop this radio program. He will.
That's right. All right.
All right. See you, Scott.
Take care, y'all. Good night.
And sorry you had to wait so long, Dave. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Robin. I think the I got dropped the first time I called in. Completely dropped. The phone just...
Well, that's on me, because I saw a call come in, and I just answered it, bang, without thinking. That's just how this thing shows up.
And the thing is, I noticed... When you were going to Ken, because you told me you were going to go to Ken, and you were going to come back to me, when you went to Ken, everything went silent. My phone was still tracking time, so I just waited.
I don't know.
Back on with Scott, and then you had to reboot and came back on with Scott. And,
It's been an evening. It's been an evening.
Yeah, well, for those in the Horn Family Community Congregation who are such a bent, if you want to lend your voices to the Choir Celestial for any interventions, this Independence Day, when I go to Delaware County with Christine, to visit my maggot brother, I had a little conversation with him last night.
I was going to say, you're really going to do this?
Because remember Robin, when she came out of the coma, she was afraid because of the guy who tried to run us off the road the year before. She would not come with me to Delaware County last year. Absolutely refused. This year she's willing to go if I'll go with her. So that's progress.
Well, yeah.
She needs to do this. So I'll sacrifice. But I happened to mention the shooting down in Texas. I said, if you have an AR-15, you don't, for deer hunting, it's because you're a bad shot.
Or you really hate deer. Because there ain't going to be nothing fit to eat. Sorry, you're bringing out the hillbilly in me.
And I doubt this seriously, but he claims that he had served in Sarajevo in the peacekeeping mission there. And he said that in Serbia, the AK-47 is considered a hunting weapon.
That's not entirely impossible.
It sounds a little weird to me.
In a place like Serbia, it's probably ubiquitous. It's a hunting rifle because that's the rifle you've got to go hunting with.
Right. I don't even know if it's even got a single shot setting. But I happen to say, you know, how does an 18-year-old kid get a hold of an AR-15 when in Texas he can't even buy a pistol at that age?
Right.
It was his First Amendment. It was his Second Amendment right. I did not answer the way I wanted to, which was, so what right was he defending when he shot at Grandma and hit her, then stole her truck, went down to the school and started shooting up the school and killed 19 children, two teachers, and made four kids orphans because their daddy died a day later.
Yeah.
Who was married to one of the teachers. But that would be bringing facts into this. God knows I can't do that. because I'm dealing with a chimpanzee. A friend of mine drove me. We went grocery shopping Saturday, and we drove downtown through an area where the Pride Day the Pride celebration was going on in full swing, and I wanted to stop. I really wanted to stop, but I couldn't. I used to live in Bloomington, Indiana, and Pride Month, Pride Weekend, hell, Pride Year is the way they celebrate down there. And I have been out for about, let's see, I'm 57 now, 35 years. And when I came out as bisexual, I was just starting to date Christine, and I felt it necessary to inform her what was going on with me because of my past. And she obviously took it well, because, you know, 27 years later we got married. But years later, when I came out to my little brother, he acted like a little kid on Christmas morning. Oh, can I tell Mom? And I'm thinking to myself, God, no, you can't tell Mom. I'd called Mom's house. He picked up the phone. So now I'm having to deal with this crap. And I'm just stealing myself for the moment when they start bad-mouthing the LGBTQ community and liberals and that shit, because I'm afraid I'm going to verbally hand them their heads, Robin. I mean, I'm of an age now when I could give a shit.
Fresh out of Fox?
Well, yes, and there's a song called I Have No More Fucks to Give on YouTube. I recommend it. I've had it. I mean, I'm not going to, if my country's going to hell in a handbasket and people are going to be targeting people like me, then fuck them if they're uncomfortable with who I am. I mean, if I learned anything from your experience was, you know, when you were talking about living your life openly and honestly because of the pandemic, if you were going to die, you were going to die as who you are and not who people think you are. And I've been doing this for so long, because coming out is never a singular process. It's a continual thing. I mean, there are people that I choose not to share this part of my life with. But I also know that at my age and with my emotional situation, I'm taking myself out of the dating pool. Now, does that mean I'm not going to meet somebody and go out? No, of course not. But I'm not looking for a relationship. But that's me. my little brother has a tendency to parrot whatever the right-wing dipshits are spouting, because a guy that he hangs around, Todd, is a right-wing QAnon-loving, you know, gun-toting thief. He's stolen thousands from my brother. And my sister was pissed off, and I looked over at my sister. I said, let me ask you, is this guy Bob's husband or something? I mean, he's always defending the guy. And she goes, I don't know. And I said, well, it's not like it's going to be a big deal for me, but if that's the case, then I could be walking into a trap. And that makes me uncomfortable, because I've never felt unsafe around my brother. But his friends are a whole other matter. So, but I am just playing patty cake with these right-wing assholes. I mean, I'm probably, I've been told that I'm probably to the left of Fidel Castro, but I point out that Castro wasn't a real communist. He was whatever would get him into power and whatever would keep him there. Remember, after the revolution, he reached out to the United States for aid, and when they said, fuck you, he reached out to Nikita Khrushchev. So,
yeah, that was a profound geopolitical. That was a profound geopolitical moment. I don't know how.
Yeah, is it necessary?
Is it necessarily a one-to-one analog in this case?
Well, I would think that it's not necessarily a one-to-one analog, but then nothing is geopolitically. I mean, you've got a situation where you've got strong support for Ukraine, for example, but that support's only going to last as long as Vladimir Putin allows himself to be portrayed as the boogeyman. And if his butt plug Donald Trump is reelected, that's going to end, because you're going to see all the media go, oh, well, we were wrong during the Biden administration.
Well, no, I mean, look, it's not even a 2024 thing. I don't know if you saw this or not, Dave, but there's a story out there that said that you know, NATO is warning countries that this is going to be a long war. Well, it doesn't have to be. It's just by virtue of how it's being handled by NATO, and by extension by the U.S., it's gonna be. And with that in mind,
it's gonna be a 20-year thing.
It, but with that in mind, you don't even have to wait until 2024 and the potential of re-arrival of Nitwit Nero on January 2025. I have no doubt whatsoever. I have no doubt whatsoever that if they get their hands on the reins of power, a potential Republican House majority, and remember, the House controls the purse strings, will immediately set up a hue and cry of "Aye, you crow Nazis!" And it's such an effective little messaging ploy for Putin. Because the fact of the matter is, this is not like what the Spanish Civil War was, insofar as it's not a battleground between fascism and communism. I mean, that's the way it was portrayed.
The Spanish Civil War was, well,
right. In this case, it's a battle between democracy versus authoritarianism. And there was a Democratic component in the Spanish Civil War as well, because the Spanish Republican government was democratically elected and was overthrown by the fascists of Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who is, of course, still dead.
Democracy. It was a practicing democracy.
And so what we have now is a messaging campaign of Putin saying, oh, our is special military operation because our Nazis in Ukraine being led by Nazi grandson of Jewish Nazis. Hey, you fucking idiot. Really? But the fact of the matter is, this is fascism. This is fascism on the march again. And the fascists are Russia. And there are too many simpletons in this country who think that just because it's Russia, and they're on the left, the purity left, who think that just because it's Russia, they must somehow still be clinging to, I don't know, some sort of Marxist-Leninist values, and they just goddamned aren't. These are fascists. Russia is a fascist state.
My friend Jerry, right-wing tool that he is, but he's still my friend, married a Russian woman who is a doctor, who started medical school in the Soviet Union when she was 17. And she's an OBGYN. That woman is no more a communist than, let's say, she's no more a communist than your mom and pop grocery store owner who's been running their store for, you know, 2-3 decades. But she's a very nice lady, a very skilled doctor, and proof that Jerry's wallet must be huge, because she's a decent looking woman. He looks like Shrek. But, you know, I think we have to keep poking fun at them. We have to keep needling them.
Well, right. Because there's a line in The Offer, the miniseries about the making of The Godfather, where Charles Bludorn says to Al Ruddy, who had just said something nice about Cabaret. Well, of course you would like Cabaret. You're the guy who made a funny TV show about funny Nazis. And
yeah, that's because he was involved.
Ruddy was the creator of Hogan's Heroes.
Right.
Yeah, but Dave, I got to get out of here. We are over time, and I want to make sure that we get to the end of the month and don't get cut off by Podbean.
All right.
Keep us posted as your anticipated July 4th visit comes on.
Well, I will be going to Christine's on the 3rd, so you may be getting a call from her blind on the 3rd.
Well, that would be cool too.
And that's
and please day, and please so. Give and please give her our fondest regards.
I will, and hopefully we'll be talking soon.
All right, you take care, Dave.
Take care of yourself.
Will do.
Bye.
Our buddy Dave calling from the line, Taliban Deanna way. Sorry about the interruption of the program by virtue of the crap out of the computer. These things happen, I guess, more and more often. But at any rate, thank you, all of you, our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. And thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you. We are down to 11. Well, we'll just say 1160. Thank you, Scott. We're down to 1160 to go, so tomorrow will be 1460. Thanks for all the help. And I know how hard it is to deal with things like this in the heart of the economic miseries with which we are all dealing. It's just hard, and I know. But I hope this program remains relevant and meaningful to you. There's not many people out there doing what we do here. And that's been a source of joy and a little bit of pride for these 18 years or so. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first round of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop, and still the originator through the 8 campaign of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2073, the only bill that has ever provided a way out of the Appalachian apocalypse brought on by mountaintop removal. You can be part of the salvation of Appalachia if you will get behind H.R. 2073 and ask your member of the House to please co-sponsor. While time yet remains. Take care of yourself. These new Omicron variants are more than creepy. Get your second booster. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, wear your mask. Masks work. Make sure you've got a good one. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet. And if somebody in some stupid-ass Texas cowboy hat comes your way and says, "Well, us Texans, we got a right to sick D." Well, ignore that big boots, big hats, no goddamn cattle jerk like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.